soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings to one and all. Well, by now I'm probably somewhere up near Canada in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, or on the way back. One thing's for sure, I'm several hundred miles away from here. And yet I'm traveling in my very own consciousness. We cannot get outside of our own consciousness. Now, yesterday, I had a meditation which started to reveal something, and I'll share that with you today. I guess we all struggle with this spiritual principle that this world is an illusion. And the reason is, we have a tendency to want to say, everything out here is an illusion, so why bother? And Joel, in his book, A Parenthesis in Eternity, in the chapter Reality and Illusion, explains this really well. And he talks about how there are races of people who believed that everything out here is an illusion. So why bother with anything? And they just sort of sat down right where they were in the mud and let everything fall apart. He says it led to a do-nothing attitude. Now, of course, you don't grow spiritually if you do nothing. Spiritual growth takes effort, internal effort, extreme effort. Effort sometimes like you can't imagine. You wouldn't believe it if I told it to you. So this concept that the world out here is an illusion is an erroneous concept, or it's error. If you believe the world out here is an illusion, you are wrong. You're not seeing the truth. You're not seeing things correctly. The next part of this that makes it difficult is you cannot look out here and say this world that you're seeing is the kingdom. Because we are told repeatedly, thousands of times in the Infinite Way writings, that there is no God in the human scene. The human scene is mass hypnotism, mental images in the world mind. Well, now that makes it really quite difficult to find this middle path between these two extremes. On the one hand, the world out there is not an illusion, because no illusion is ever externalized, it says quite plainly. On the other hand, this world that you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not the world of God's creating, and God is nowhere in it. Well, now, if God is nowhere in it, sounds like it's an illusion, doesn't it? But the world out here is not an illusion. This world is real, says Joel. Then, where is this illusion located? And what can be done about it? The best way I can explain it is by some of the things that have been revealed to me, and maybe you can take them and run with them, and maybe you can't. But we'll try and we'll see. Now, the clue that helped me the most is in that chapter, Reality and Illusion, in a parenthesis in Eternity, because I knew the answer had to be there somewhere, and I pored over that chapter, and I contemplated, and pondered, and looked, and prayed, and begged, and tried to see what was being said. And so the clue was, no illusion is ever externalized. So that placed the illusion firmly within. And yet, here comes the next quandary. We are told the kingdom of heaven is within you. Well now, how can I have the kingdom of heaven within me and the illusion be within at the same time? Oh, you can just rack your brain going round and round and round to solve this. Yet I believe it's understandable. Or not understandable, but I believe you can... No, let me rephrase that. I know it can be experienced. The truth can be experienced about this. And then the understanding will follow. First, the experience of the truth, and then the understanding will follow. So let me give you a few pointers if I can. Now, listen to a portion of The New Horizon. I know I have been covering this a lot, and yet Joel says you should study it for 2 or 3 years, so perhaps we're not doing too badly by looking at it. The first glimpse of reality, of the soul realm, comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporary conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. Alright, so you can pretty much take that to the bank. Is it temporary? If it's temporary, it's illusion. Is it permanent? Is it eternal? Is it immortal? Well, if it's eternal and immortal, it's reality. So now look around. Can you see with your eyes anything that isn't temporary? No, I don't see a thing. There's nothing I can see with my eyes that isn't going to dissolve into nothingness given time. The law of entropy will strike everything I can see here in this room, including this physical body. Well, then everything that the eyes are showing me are an illusion. Ah, but you just said that this world out here is not an illusion. That's right. That's right, I did. Well, then how come everything I see is an illusion? And the answer? Everything you see is not out here. Well, let's take the ears. Can you hear something that is eternal? Or is everything that you hear temporary? Well, let's just ponder that for a moment. I hear my wife's voice. Is that eternal? Nope. We know that voice box will someday cease to exist. So that voice is not eternal. What about these birds I hear outside right now? Is that eternal? No, it's not. Every one of them will drop off the limb sooner or later, given time. Well, then what is eternal that I can hear with my physical ear? The answer is nothing. Furthermore, since no illusion is ever externalized, everything I hear with my ear must be taking place somewhere within. Well, then everything I see is not out there. Everything I hear is not out there. Everything I touch is not out there. If I smell it, it's not out there. If I taste it, it's not out there. Well, now we know that the senses can only report an illusion. And yet, an illusion that's not out there. Then what are the senses showing me? Well, look at the beginning of this chapter, The New Horizon. The senses, which present pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, are the universal mesmerism, which produces the entire dream of human existence. Now that tells you right there, human existence, the entire human existence, from the cradle to the grave, is an illusion, or mesmerism. Hypnosis. It must be understood that there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. Ah, so there you go. All of the good. All of the good that the senses report are an illusion. Not an illusion out here. Because no illusion is ever externalized. What about that purple mountain majesty that looks so beautiful? It's not out there. Even a mountain can be destroyed in an atomic bomb. What about the beautiful sunset? Sorry, not out there. Even the sun will eventually one day wind down given time. Let's take Jesus. Is not Jesus eternal? Excuse me. Where is he? Certainly not on earth. You might go so far as to say Christ, the consciousness that formed itself as Jesus, is eternal, but not Jesus. How about Joel? Where is he? Well, I think they buried him, didn't they? Or did they cremate him? I'm not sure which. He's sure not around. Not eternal. Ah, but now, the consciousness that animated him, that's another story. Well, I can't see consciousness or hear consciousness. Not with my physical ears and eyes. That's correct. The physical ears and eyes can only show you an illusion. And nothing but an illusion. And so even the good pictures are, number one, an illusion. And number two, not out there. It must be realized that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion. And we, you, and I must rise above the desire for good human conditions. Well, uh-oh. I thought I was going to God to turn this bad health into good health. Isn't that what happens when you practice spiritual principles? I thought I was going to God to fix my finances, which are in a mess. I thought I was going to God because if I went to God, the right companion would appear. Well, I'm sorry. Joel has told us over and over, God cannot be added to humanhood. You can't pull God into the human scene ever at any time. God will never operate, I just read it today somewhere, God will never operate in the human scene. Ever. Well then, what's the use of all this? I thought we were trying to take a bad life and turn it into a good one. If you succeeded in doing that, you would still be standing square in the middle of the cosmic illusion, and the joke would be on you, because you will have turned a bad illusion into a good illusion, and it will still be made of the same fabric, which is nothingness. The spiritual path has got nothing to do with exchanging a bad illusion for a good one. If you're looking for that, you're looking in the wrong place. And so to continue, understand fully that suggestion, belief, or hypnotism is the substance or fabric of the whole mortal universe. And both human conditions, good and evil, are dreams, dream pictures, having absolutely no reality whatsoever. And don't forget that clue we started with. We're still carrying that clue with all this. No illusion is ever externalized. All right, so all of these things must be going on within somewhere. The illusion of bad and the illusion of good. The knowledge of bad, the knowledge of good. The knowledge of good and evil must be going on within. That's the only illusion there is. And so he says we must be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. Ah. Okay, so there's a clue. I've got to be willing for both to disappear from my experience. Well, now that really sets up a quandary. Let's see what we have so far. So far we know that if the senses report it to you, I don't care if it's your cute little grandchild, and I have one of those, or your beautiful seaside cottage or mountainside retreat. I don't care if it's a Rembrandt hanging in your living room, or Mozart playing on your speakers. If the senses report it, if it's temporary in nature and not eternal, it's not out there. It's in here somewhere as a knowledge of good or evil. That's what we have so far. Now, says Joel, above the sense life, there is a universe of spirit. Now, here's two clues right here. Above the sense life means there is some way to ascend up over the senses. And there is a universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. This world is real and permanent. All right, What do we have here? If we can ascend out of the senses, we will see and hear and maybe touch a universe. A universe that's invisible to the senses. A universe of spirit, which is governed by God's love. Ah, God enters that universe. Yes, indeed. And it's peopled. There are entities in that universe called children of God, which are living in a temple of truth. And that universe is real and eternal. Its substance is eternal consciousness. In it, there is no awareness of discords or even of temporary or material good. Now, what do we have? We have no illusion is ever externalized. And if the senses report it and it's temporary and not eternal, it's an illusion. And the illusion is somewhere inside of me, somewhere inside of you, and it's made up of the substance of some sort of knowledge of good and evil. And yet, if I can transcend that mind that has that knowledge, if I can come out of that mind, even briefly, I might be able to catch a glimpse of reality. And reality is a universe invisible to me right now. A universe of spirit governed by love, peopled with all the children of God that have ascended before me. And that universe is real and eternal. Its substance is eternal consciousness. And in that universe, there's no more awareness of discords or temporary and material good. Well, by golly, does that not sound quite a bit like heaven? Aren't we told, even as children, that when we go to heaven, there's no more pain and no more crying? No more death? That sounds an awful lot like that same place. And what do I have to do to get there? Do I have to die physically? No, it doesn't say that. It says I've got to find a way to come above the sense life, or the senses which are reporting this illusion. Alright, now let's see, what do we have? No illusion is ever externalized. And so this world that the senses are reporting are out there, is out there, is not out there. The world that the senses are reporting, the body that the senses are reporting, the wife, the husband, the partner that the senses are reporting, nature that the senses are reporting, all of it is somewhere within. And since it's the senses reporting it, all of it is in the sense mind. And so the sense mind must be the instrument of, well, the sense mind must be the world mind. Yes, the sense mind is the world mind, because the sense mind has pictures and thoughts about a world that's not out there. So the sense mind within you is the culprit. That's the Satan. That's the hypnotism. That's the illusion. It's hypnotizing me into seeing a world, people, places, things, conditions, and making me believe they're out here. But the kingdom of heaven is the only thing that God made. And God is omnipresent. So God is out here. I'm walking around in the center of God being. I'm hypnotized while walking in God, seeing a world that was never made. Ah, but don't lose hope. Here stands one named Jesus, who says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And now his name is changed to Christ Jesus. Here stands one named Gautama. And he says, the world is a dream, Maya. But I have come out of that. I am no longer in the wheel of rebirth. I have come out of the wheel, the cycle. I am free. I made it. And they seem rather lofty. And then here's this man named Joel. Well, what does he say? He says in his very first book that he has come above the sense mind and found a universe of spirit governed by love, peopled with children of God, alive, eternally, living in the household or temple of truth. He's met them. And he says that this universe is real and eternal, and that its substance is eternal consciousness, and that in it there is no awareness of discords or temporary immaterial good. Here stands Joel, a man like me, a person like you, and he says, I've seen it. I have come up over that sense mind world. I have overcome the world of duality, Maya, the illusion. And he didn't have to do anything about a world out here because it wasn't out there. And as long as anybody thinks it's out there, they won't find the answer. That's what he says. Since he found the answer, I believe him. And so, the clues are all here. We only read a page and a half, probably less than 300 words. And yet in it is revealed to us that the entire illusory universe is taking place in the sense mind within you. And this sense mind is showing you pictures, thousands, millions of pictures daily, based on a knowledge it has acquired over the centuries, all about good and evil. And you believe it. And so, you can see some of the places that I have gone with this, pondering this. This has taken years, by the way, to come to this understanding. Now, this man, Joel, has told us that you can ascend out of this mind made up of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you ascend out of this mind, you will find an invisible universe suddenly. Well, let's hear it in his own words, shall we? The first glimpse of reality of this soul realm comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporary conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. With the realization that the entire human scene, its good as well as its evil, is illusion, will come the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation, and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. So there he is saying the same thing again. You will catch a glimpse. You will see into another universe. And you will see children of God there. Now, in this moment of uplifted consciousness, we are able, even though faintly, to see ourselves free of material, mortal, human, and legal laws. We behold ourselves separate and apart from the bondage of sense, and we glimpse the unlimited boundaries of eternal life and of infinite consciousness. Now, the substance of this world, the world that is an illusion, what is the substance of it? We've been told 75,000 times over the years in the books and the tapes. What is the substance of this world? Well, you know, the fabric of this world is hypnotism, illusion, or world mind, world thought, the carnal mind, right? The sense mind. That's the fabric. And since there's no God in that, there's no reality in it. It has no life. It's dead. What is the substance of this new universe? This invisible universe that the eyes and the senses can't show you? Ah, he says, its substance is eternal consciousness. We glimpse the unlimited boundaries of eternal life and infinite consciousness. The fetters of finite existence begin to fall away. Alright, so what do we know? We know we have to find a way to go within and ascend up over this sense mind and set every one of those senses aside. And if we will do that, and persistently do that, a moment will come when within your being another faculty awakens, rouses up, and expands, and you will catch a glimpse, perhaps your first glimpse, of the kingdom of the living God, which is eternal. Only it won't be invisible to you. You will see it with your inner eye, a new sense, a new faculty, a spiritual faculty, a soul faculty. You will see into this invisible universe, but it won't be invisible to you. And you will see the spiritual children of God in that universe, and you will know it is made of the fabric of eternal consciousness. Now that's what we know from reading not even yet two pages. He says the experience at first will be like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. And so I imagine you better put your seatbelt on, because when you have this experience, everything that makes up this world, all of the senses, all the sense pictures, all the mortal thoughts, all the knowledge of good and evil, all the good as well as the bad, is going to drop down from before you, disappear over a horizon, all of it. And in your inner being, in your meditation, you will find that you look into that invisible, permanent, eternal universe, the universe that God made. The universe formed out of God itself. God is the substance of that universe. That's why it's eternal. for God and consciousness are one. Now, he says, there is no attachment to this world that's dropping over before you and disappearing over the horizon. There's no attachment to that world, no desire to hold on to it anymore. And here's another clue, so listen. Probably because, to a great extent, the experience will not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. Now do you see why we can't go to God and say, God, will you fix my illusion and make it a good one? It's been bad for a while. Would you please wave your wand and make it good? Do you see why we can't pull God into the human scene? How can you pull eternal, infinite, spiritual consciousness into a box called world mind, called the sense mind, with all of this grand knowledge of good and evil? How are you going to pull eternal consciousness into a mind that doesn't exist? That mind itself was temporary, or you couldn't ascend out of it. Now, could you? It can't be done. It can't be done. That's why all of these prayers and statements of truth that we think we can use to manipulate God somehow appearing in this scene, that's why it doesn't work. It can't work. Let us be mature enough. Well, what does Paul say? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I played with childish things. But now I'm a man, a spiritual man. Let us grow up. Let us see that we're going to have to leave this world behind in order to enter the kingdom. You can't hold on to this world and enter the kingdom. Therefore, he says, there's no attachment to this world and no desire to hold on to it. Probably because, to a great extent, the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for anything in this world has been overcome, even him and her and it. Now, when you have this experience of peeking into the invisible kingdom and communing with the children of God in this universe governed by love, made of the substance of eternal consciousness, at first you cannot speak of it. There is a sense of touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. I am still between these two worlds. One, the mental image of this world, which is only within and no place else. Two, my kingdom, which surrounds you forever and ever, in every direction, for infinity. I am still between these two worlds. Do not touch me or make me speak about this new invisible kingdom, because it may drag me back here. Let me be free to rise, and then, when I am completely free of this world, of the mesmerism and all the mental images in its pictures, then I will tell you of many things which human eyes have not seen, nor human ears heard. Now, are you hearing this? You see why he said to study this for 2 years? I've been doing it. I have been doing this. A universal illusion binds us to earth, to temporal conditions or temporary conditions. Realize this. Understand this. Because only through this understanding can we begin to lessen its hold upon us and rise out of it. The more fascinated you are with conditions of human good, and the greater your desire for even the good things of life, the more intense is the illusion with you. However, in proportion as your thought dwells on God, on things of the Spirit, the greater freedom from limitation you are gaining. And I read this whole thing just to get to this part here. Think neither on the discords, nor on the harmonies of this world. Now that line right there hit me yesterday. Think neither on the discords, nor on the harmonies of this world. Let us not fear the evil of this world, nor love the good of human existence. Now there you have it, right there. We are not to love the good of human existence. Any of it. Not her, not him, not them, not it. Well, I mean, you're free to love them, but you're loving an illusion created in the mind. When you rise out of that mind and peek into that invisible realm, the kingdom of the living God, and there behold the children of God and the universe governed by love, then is when you love the children you meet there. Now that's a clue. See if you can take that into your closet and ponder it. Now, in proportion as we accomplish this, not loving the good of the human existence or not fearing it, the evil, in proportion as we accomplish this, is the mesmeric influence lessening in our experience? And then earth ties begin to disappear. Shackles of limitation will fall away. Erroneous conditions give place to spiritual harmony. And death gives way to eternal life. The first glimpse into the heaven of here and now is the beginning of the ascension for us. You see? This is an ascension. You're not rising out of this world out here into some kingdom of heaven in the sky by and by. That was all wrong. That was by people that did not understand, had not yet had this experience. Because they did not ascend, they had no way to describe it. They didn't know it existed. But this is one who has peeked and is peeking into the invisible kingdom, here and now. And he tells us, there's a kingdom here and now. The first glimpse into the heaven of here and now is the beginning of the ascension. It's done within your being. It's done in each meditation. Not only is this principle about your entire life ascending out of this world and into the kingdom, it's also this principle applicable to each and every meditation. Each and every meditation is where you have a glimpse of the heaven of here and now by ascending out of the sense mind. Okay? So this ascension, he says, is understood now as a rising above the conditions and experiences of this world. But this world is not a world. It's not out there. This world is the name given to everything you see with the senses, which is in here, in the sense mind. The mind made up of the five senses. The brain. The human mind. That mind is showing you a world as if it's out here, but it's not. It's a world of knowledge of good and evil in here. In your meditation, as you become still, as you're not looking for good or running from the bad, as you step out of or ascend up over that sense mind of good and evil and all the knowledge that goes with it, then in the stillness, in the silence, you have a glimpse, you peek into the heaven of here and now, because you have ascended up over this world. And you behold the many mansions prepared for you in spiritual consciousness, in the awareness of reality. All right? Now we're going to stop there. There's just a little bit more, but we're going to stop there because that says everything we need for right now. Now, here's what came to me in conjunction with that yesterday. Your body is not the illusion. And so, if you look and you see a body out here, and you think that this body out here is an illusion, you're wrong. If you think you have an illusory body, you're mistaken. The body is not the illusion. Your body is eternal, spiritual consciousness formed. Or put that sentence backwards. Eternal, spiritual consciousness formed your body, forms itself as your body. In other words, eternal spiritual consciousness is your body. So your body is eternal. The body is not the illusion. The illusion is in your thoughts about the body. Your thoughts about the body is what constitutes the illusion. So, you look, you think you have a physical, material body out here. It's 50 or 54 or 36 or 27. And you have the belief that you have a material, physical body that's 60 years old and it's beginning to lose its faculties. Oh, soon you'll need a hearing aid and your eyes are going and your reflexes aren't as quick. You're almost over the hill. You're not walking as quick as you used to. It's harder to get up in the morning. You don't digest as well. You're aging. You may even have age spots on your hands. It's obvious. Any doctor or psychologist would tell you to deal with reality. Don't pretend that you're not aging when you are. So that's the belief about your body, right? You believe it's a male body, or it's a female body. It's a young body, or it's an old body. It has a lifespan, doesn't it? 70 years, maybe a little bit more, with the marvels of modern medicine. I think you ought to be able to add 10 years in a nursing home where they spoon-feed you. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, I want those 10 years. How about you? That's not your body, and that's not out there. If you're going to come into the truth about your body, the one God made, what are you going to have to do? Well, He just told us, didn't He? In that chapter, you're going to have to sit down to meditate. You're going to have to close your eyes. Shut off all senses and what they're reporting about the body. And in the quiet, you're going to have to realize that body is not out there. This is in here. This is a mental image. An image in thought. The sense mind has formed these pictures. But these pictures were never made. God didn't make these pictures. God made nothing temporary, ever, at any time. Consciousness formed itself as eternal body. And this can't be my body. This is a part of the knowledge of good and evil. Part of the knowledge of two-ness. Well, now let me be still about that. Since nothing can be done about an illusion other than let it go. Now, I am still. I am quiet. God, consciousness, reveal the body you made. Reveal the eternal body, not made by hands. Eternal in this kingdom in this heaven? What is this infinite, eternal body you made? What is my body really like? Father, let me feel that body you made. I will be still now and listen. If you do this in your meditation and you are persistent, you will have an inner glimpse. A new faculty will rise up, a soul faculty, and show you an infinite, invisible, incorporeal, eternal body. The body of Christ, the Son of God. It's yours. I can't tell you about it. You must experience it. If you would know what your body really is, you're going to have to do this in your meditation several times until you begin to get a glimpse. And it will come. It really will come. God will reveal to you what your immortal body is. And you will feel it. It's an actual feeling. You may even step into it momentarily. You may actually feel yourself as that infinite everywhere body. It's happened to me and several that I know. Why not you? Since we understand now that this world is not out there. Since we understand that this world is made up of beliefs in good and evil, or knowledge of good and evil, and that it's in the sense mind, and only in the sense mind, to come up over that, all that is necessary is to take no thought about it. When you reach the place, that's why meditation is practiced by us in the infinite way, because when you reach that place of no thought, if only for a second, you begin to have this glimpse of this invisible kingdom in which you live and move and have your being right now. You have always lived and moved and had your being in the invisible kingdom. You've never left it. You haven't left it, and you're not going back. You're there now. You never left. But you've had no awareness of it, because you've been looking through a glass darkly, made up of the knowledge of good and evil, forming itself into pictures, looking like a world out there. But now you understand, don't you? You understand that there is no world out there. You are standing in the kingdom. But to have an awareness of the kingdom means you're going to have to reach that place inside of you where the world drops away over a horizon and you become aware of an invisible kingdom. You become aware of an immortal body. You become aware of an eternal companion. You become aware of an infinite supply. You become aware that God consciousness formed itself as itself everywhere. And you become aware that is what I am. You are going to become aware of an infinite Christ body, incorporeal, invisible, untouchable by the human mind. You're going to become aware of an omniscient mind which has all wisdom, all truth in it, and it's yours. You're actually going to tune into it and hear your real thoughts. Not the thoughts of the sense mind. Oh no, you're going to hear the thoughts of the mind which was in Christ Jesus. The infinite, omniscient mind, which is the mind that goes with your incorporeal, indestructible, eternal body. You're going to find out that consciousness really did form itself as you, and that you are that Christ right now. All right. Take your body, as we did here, into your meditation and start from the premise that no illusion is ever externalized. And if you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it's of the sense mind and was not made by God, was not made. With that as your premise, step out of that mind, rest for a bit, and ask your Father, God, to reveal to you, the Christ, what body he gave you, what mind he gave you. Do the same thing with your sense of supply, the human sense of supply, as if it's something out here. Recognize that no illusion is ever externalized. It must be within in that knowledge of good and evil. And so that's not supply at all. Drop that. Ascend up over that belief. Ask your Father to reveal to you what is spiritual supply. What is this eternal, infinite supply, ever pouring forth as the expression of God's love? What is that? What does it feel like? What does it look like? And see it. Discern it with your spiritual eye. And do the same thing with companionship. We know what the sense of companionship is out here, appearing to be out here. Sometimes here, sometimes gone, sometimes living, sometimes dead. Sometimes happy, sometimes sad, sometimes friendly, sometimes mean. Sometimes loving, sometimes selfish. That can't be companionship. That's got to be pictures in here, in the sense mind. Set them aside, set them down. There is no good or evil, but thinking makes it so. So stop thinking, and you have the solution. Come up over that thinking, sense mind. Be still. Ask your Father, what is companionship? What is the real companion? What's the eternal companion that will never leave me nor forsake me? What is this God presence? What does this presence feel like? What does it discern like? And let the Father show you that presence that God is, that dwells at the center of you, and in which you dwell, forever one. It is time. It is time to ascend out of this world so that you and I, whether our name on earth is Bill or Mary or Susan or Britta or Laura or Dennis or Al or Monty, whatever your name is, Peter or Michael, that's not your name, and you know it now. That's a sense mind name, one of the names Adam gave to something it couldn't understand. It's time for you and I to ascend out of that existence, out of that name, into, well, a new name. To him who overcomes will I give a new name, a stone on which is written a new name, and no one knows what that name is, saving him that receiveth it. And so now you know, if you will overcome, if you will come up over that sense mind, into that place of stillness, where the Father can reveal who you are, you will be given a new name, and that name is...